My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, Rob, this is what I would like to do before we replay our conversation with Bobby Wood Jr. I want to let you guys know that I appreciate you. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Now, I am not a soccer expert by any means, but I do think I watch a lot of sports, and I just have one observation. We have seen since the inclusion of NBA players in 1992 in the Summer Olympics, we have seen rapid growth from the rest of the world in basketball. We have seen that basketball has become a far more international game, despite the fact that the United States had basically a 75-year head start on the rest of the world. When you think about basketball, I would say maybe pre-2015, the best basketball player in the world was always an American-born player. Now, there might be an exception for a guy like Hakeem Olajuwon, but he then came over to the States to play college basketball, so maybe that is one of the few exceptions. But if you think back to the history of the league and who got to wear the heavyweight championship belt of best player in the league, it was always an American-born player. And until very recently, it is now transition where it's a little even. Hey, sometimes it's an American player, sometimes it's an international player. Last year in the NBA, 4 out of the 5 players that made first team All-NBA are international players. That we have seen some of these countries able to catch up in a very short period of time. Think about what we've seen in Canada. Canada was hockey, right? Those kids don't play basketball. Well, they get the Raptors, they get Vince Carter, and look at the Canadian national team. It's all of them are in the NBA. We have seen rapid growth around the country in basketball. This isn't an NBA conversation. I only bring this up because I wonder how we can see these other countries close the gap so quickly in basketball, but the United States is not able to close this same gap in soccer. I'm not asking the United States to beat Brazil or beat Argentina. I don't think that's realistic. You can't be at a place where you can consistently beat Panama. You're not at a place where you can consistently beat Uruguay. You have 330 million more people than these countries do. I mean, some of these countries, I mean, Panama is the size and has the same population of Kentucky. You know how crazy it would be if Kentucky's high school basketball team could beat the rest of the countries? We would look at that kind of weird, right? Like, hey, what are we doing outside that they're not doing? Like, it would just be very, very odd. Now, I get it. We don't get all the top athletes, right? Every kid who has ever been good at sports does not play soccer. That's not the case in some of these other. I mean, Giannis eventually decided, hey, I want to do something different. I want to play. And that country then developed Giannis to be one of the best basketball players that we've ever seen. It can't just be a size, speed, and strength things. I mean, you guys have seen Luka Doncic the same way that I have. I don't think he's ever lifted a weight or ever eaten a vegetable before. He looks to be really good at basketball. You look at Nikola Jokic. I want to know what his body fat ratio is. He can't jump. He seems to be the best basketball player in the world to me. So it's more than just, oh, well, we got to get the kids that run the fastest, the kids that... It's much more than that. It's a skill level thing. It's a training thing. It's a teaching thing. It is a development thing. How are we failing so poorly at developing soccer stars when we have been able to create stars in so many other things and not just basketball and football? The track. We're super competitive in track. All the fastest kids don't play track. Tyreek Hill could have been a track athlete. He decided to do something different. We just had other fast kids to go do it. How about swimming? Does swimming get the top athletes in our world? We got Michael Phelps. We got Katie Ledecky. Do all the great athletes go to gymnastics? Seem to be pretty good at those things. It's only soccer that we make this, oh, well, we don't get every kid that's in the NBA. Like, well, you're never going to get those kids. You're not going to get all of them. Hey, K-State, I'm sorry. You're not going to get every five-star recruit. I'm sorry. Some of those kids, I don't care where they're from, they're going to go to Alabama if given the opportunity. They're going to go to Oregon if given the opportunity. Not all of them, but some of them will. How do you beat them? I saw a college football program grow from nothingness in Manhattan, Kansas, to be a game away from a national championship. You're telling me that with all the resources that we as a country have pumped into American soccer and all the facilities that we have built and all the emphasis that have been placed on it in the last 20 years, we still are no closer to winning the Copa America tournament? They can't get out of group play? Or they are no better off in the World Cup? They missed the World Cup in 2016. Just outright missed it. They weren't invited to the tournament. That's something that happened in 1940. It shouldn't be happening now with all the resource. Rob tells me that this is the golden generation. That's what he's told me. This is the golden generation, that this generation has grown up playing soccer. They do have all the advantages. They do have all the resources. We have pumped a lot of resources. Do they appear to be close to you? Because the World Cup is coming to Kansas City in 2 years. 2 years from now. It's not going to be the Copa America that is at Arrowhead. It's going to be the World Cup. And America doesn't look any closer to being able to compete in that tournament. So if I've said something that's wrong, please correct me. 913-586-7610. I just look at the rest of the world in basketball. Maybe that is a bad comparison. The United States had a 70-year advantage over Spain in basketball. I watched them in 2008, where America sent maybe the best basketball team that we have ever sent over an international competition, and it took every bit of that to beat Spain in basketball. Every bit of it to beat them. Sure, the United States wins a majority of the time. It sure ain't easy anymore. It's still very easy to beat the United States. And it's not just that they are losing to the juggernauts. You could live with that. They lost to Brazil. It seems to me that the goal of American soccer is to consistently beat Mexico and to steal money from parents. That's what it seems like the goal of it is to me. To get as many kids and as many kids from wealthy, affluent families to sign up for soccer so they can hit you over the head with whatever club team you want to pay for. That's what it seems like the goal is to me. We have made the entry point unrealistic for a lot of families, and kids just ultimately decide to do something else. So, Rob, I certainly want your commentary. You are a much bigger soccer fan than me. I'm just giving you my casual observation of what's going wrong with American soccer.
Nothing you said is out of turn or wrong. It has long angered me. There has been this narrative, this notion, and I've always felt it's lazy. Well, if the best athlete just played soccer, they'd be good, and that's the only reason we're not good. Ho-hum, shrug, move on. That's just not correct. You laid it out perfectly. Other countries have their best players, not their best athletes, not play soccer sometimes too. And it doesn't seem to handcuff their countries. It doesn't seem to force them to be mediocre. Right now, the best athlete from France is an NBA player. Victor Wembanyama is a freak. He could never play soccer at 7'3 or whatever that he is, 7'6, whatever. But you know what hasn't stopped? France being good. They're still very, very good. I was watching the Euro tournament earlier. Roger Federer might be the best, you know, Swiss athlete of all time. You know what he couldn't do? Play soccer. You know what Switzerland is still doing? They're fine at the sport. It is more than just an athlete problem. It is more than just a, hey, well, if Tyreek Hill played, they would never lose. So that's the only reason they're losing. It's just lazy narrative American arrogance. The problem with soccer in America is when you watch the top countries in the world, the skill they possess versus the skill the United States players possess is near night and day. And you want to know why? Because the youth system in America that's expensive and has the stigma of a country club sport is teaching them not a thing as close as the other countries in the world. They're playing, you know, in parks. They're playing just all over the country in Brazil, and their touch and their skill is incredible. And yet, with, you know, club, the U8 club team, it's going to cost your parents $500 to get little Jimmy out in a tournament at Heritage Park, then at Shields Park, and then he's going to Northland. His touch is no better than that kid who doesn't spend $500. So top to bottom, we are behind the curve. And until U.S. soccer at the highest levels looks in the mirror and says, listen, just making the World Cup and beating Mexico ain't good enough, and goes through an actual reset and says, it's time to restart, tear this thing down to the studs, and let's fix it, they just keep putting Band-Aids on broken legs. After 2018, I thought we would see a wholesale changes, and they boasted their chest out. There are going to be wholesale changes, and there weren't. They hired just the same people. They moved deck chairs around on the Titanic, and nothing is getting fixed. The best players in America are good, by the way. They play us in the top leagues in Europe, and they are still behind the curve because when they were 14, 15, 16, playing soccer in America as youths, they weren't as competitive, they weren't as skilled, they weren't as taught as the 14, 15-year-olds in insert country X. It's not an athlete problem. It is a skill problem, and no one seems to care to fix it.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT soccer is just a lame sport. No stud athlete wants to play soccer when they have all the ups all the other options that we do. Those other countries just play soccer. Respectfully, you do not watch basketball if you have this opinion. You can't. You can't see how international the NBA is and like, oh, well, all these other countries are just playing soccer and nothing else. No, they're playing basketball too. You cannot watch track and have this opinion. All the fast people are, no, these other countries are playing soccer and they're playing other sports too. They're playing basketball. They're playing, you can't watch Major League Baseball and think that all these other countries, all they do is play soccer. They seem to be really good at baseball too, just as good as we are at baseball. They are doing something when it comes to developing athletes that we are not doing. I'm not trying to make it seem like I have the answer when it comes to, hey, how do we get better at soccer? I certainly don't have the answer. But I just don't know how you can see that in American basketball, the sport that we invented, the last two number one overall prospects have been from France. Like, France is developing high-level basketball prospects. Are we developing high-level soccer prospects? It is more than just the best athletes. France had the ability to develop Kylian Mbappe and develop Victor Wembanyama at the same time. America is not doing both of those things. Earlier in the show, we got a chance to catch up with Bobby Witt Jr. I'm guessing at some point Bobby Witt Jr. played soccer, and if he wanted to play soccer, I'm guessing he would have been really good at it. Our conversation with Bobby Witt Jr., the future All-Star, started with. He recently signed a deal with Whataburger. He is going to be one of their newest endorsers. We asked him what his go-to order is.
I got a little bit of everything. I just kind of depends on the day, but my go-to is the sweet and spicy bacon burger, but with no bacon.
Do you ever kind of switch it up a little bit? Because I was looking at those wings and I'm thinking, all right, I didn't come to Whataburger to order the wings, but I was kind of curious in trying them.
I actually haven't had them yet, so I need to try that. But I will go from a double cheese to a triple cheese, and then from breakfast, the honey butter chicken biscuit to the taquitos. I got a little bit of everything, the patty melts.
Patrick is, you know, part owner of some of these. You know, you go around the city and the ones that he owns, he has his jersey up. Are you interested in being part owner at Whataburger? Obviously, grew up in Texas. Your relationship with Patrick Mahomes, do you have any interest in getting into that venture?
Possibly down the road, but I thought that this step that we did here just with the kind of partnership is kind of one of those things that I've always kind of dreamed of, because being like an athlete and everything, and you get these partnerships, and something that I remember growing up was always going to Whataburger. My family's huge fans of Whataburger, so it was just pretty cool when we kind of came to agreement. And
right now we're talking to Bobby Witt Jr. on the show today. Let's talk about a major reason why you're on the show today, to promote All-Star voting and you potentially going to your first All-Star game. Just how cool is it that, I'm sure you grew up watching this game, hoping to play in it, how cool is it that your name is in consideration to be a starter for the All-Star game?
Yeah, it's an honor, because of just yeah, just being an All-Star is just it would be a dream come true. And so, yeah, just growing up watching the games and this one being in the hometown would be pretty special.
Who was your favorite player growing up?
I had a lot of different kind of favorite players, but Dustin Pedroia was my go-to guy, him and Derek Jeter. So kind of that Red Sox-Yankees little rivalry. I love watching those guys play. And then with the Rangers, I liked a lot of the guys. Michael Young was another one of my go-to guys.
Right now we're talking to Bobby Witt Jr. So I was reading a story on you from Jeff Passan earlier today, and when you signed the contract in Kansas City, you got a text from four people. You got a text from Patrick Mahomes, Dustin Pedroia, Mike Trout, and Zach Greinke. When you got that text, who was the person that you replied to first?
Man, I can't really remember, but it was funny how it was kind of the, all four of them were like back to back to back to back. But I think Zach was the first one, and then Patrick, and then Pedroia after that, and then, yeah, and then Trout. So actually Trout might have been the first one. I think I replied to him first because he was the first one to text me, so which was pretty cool. But any time you get a text from any of those four guys, I felt like a little kid, and it was just smiling ear to ear. It fired me up.
I was just going to ask you, how cool is it now that obviously you still look up to these guys and the success that they've had, but you are a peer, you know, like now you look at them, you can go to them from advice, but you're also still competing against some of these guys as well. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's special just being able to do that and then just getting to know these guys and just know how great of just people they are and just know that they are people. And so it's pretty special just to kind of build relationships with guys around the league and guys that have played in the past, and just it's really special to guys that you look up and they're role models to you, and then now you're having a conversation with them. So yeah,
obviously you and Patrick Mahomes have developed a relationship over the years. You know, you both play professionally in Kansas City, you're both from Texas, so there's a lot of connection there. Have you guys ever played golf together?
No, I need to work on my game before that happens. I've heard he's, and even just watching him on TV golfing, I need a lot more work for that to happen. So one of these, but luckily, as of now, not luckily, but our schedules don't match up, so we can never really get a match. So it gives me an excuse not to have to do that right yet.
I actually wanted to ask you this. When was the last time that you got timed on your 40? Because there was a note that came out a couple of days ago that you ran from home plate to third base in 11 seconds, which just doesn't even seem like a realistic time. I know it's not really a baseball thing, but when's the last time that you ran the 40?
It was my freshman year of high school. I think it was the fall or summer camp or something for football, because I stopped playing football after my sophomore year. And so I think it was a 4.49 it was. So, yeah.
What if you just, like, ran it today? Just one day you just were curious, like, I'm curious what my 40 is. What time do you think you would run today?
I have no idea. I know I've gotten a lot faster since then, so I'm not completely sure.
When you were freshman, Bobby Witt Jr., what position in football did you play?
I was receiver and cornerback, so I played DB and receiver. So I pretty much would play kind of first half at DB, play both ways, and then second half came into receiver.
Okay, so you're like Travis Hunter a little bit. Which one did you like more, playing on offense or defense?
Oh, I love scoring. Offense for sure. I didn't really like hitting people. I'd take the hit, but just some of the times I wasn't the best tackler, I'd say.
I was reading a couple of days ago, and they had a shortstop draft on ESPN, and they were going through all the shortstops in the draft and factoring their age and conversation, and Buster Olney took you with the number one overall pick. When you hear people kind of compare you with some of the other great players in the game and they put you at the top of this conversation, just take us through how that makes you feel and just also motivating you to continue to work hard to validate how people feel about you.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think you hit it on the head. It's one of those things, like, anyone can put it on paper and do this and that, but you just got to kind of prove them right, I guess. And so just got to keep working. It's more motivation than anything whenever those publications or whatever comes out. And so, yeah.
We were talking about the All-Star game. I know a lot of people are wondering if you're considering doing the Home Run Derby. I mean, if you got the phone call from Major League Baseball to do the Home Run Derby, would you consider doing it?
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool just to kind of do it in the home state. And I've done one back in high school, and so yeah, I've seen Salvi do him, and he said he enjoyed him a lot, and so yeah, it'd be kind of cool.
Has anybody reached out to you? Has anybody asked you to do it?
No, not really. So it's just kind of one of those things that maybe, I don't know.
Right now we're talking to Bobby Witt Jr. here for a couple more minutes here. I am curious. So my boss actually told me this. I learned that you originally committed to Oklahoma. What was it like to grow up in Texas? I know your dad went to Oklahoma. You committed to Oklahoma. What was it like to grow up in the heart of Texas but cheer for OU?
Yeah, so my mom, dad, two older sisters also went there. They cheered there, and so I was kind of Sooner born and Sooner bred. And so, yeah, that was somewhere that I always wanted to go. Like, dreaming in middle school, I was going to go there to play football and baseball. That was the ultimate goal. I love watching the football games up there and going to the games quite a bit in the off season. But, yeah, just where I'm at in DFW, it's actually University of Oklahoma is closer than the University of Texas, so driving-wise, so which is kind of cool.
Who was your favorite OU player growing up?
Growing up, I had a lot of guys. I got lucky with Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, all the guys. The list goes. Landry Jones kind of was like my start quarterback-wise, and then just watching all those guys run through there, Adrian Peterson, the list goes on and on, and even Caleb Williams was just there, and the guy that got there now this year is going to be solid. And so, yeah, I just love watching the Sooners. That's something that I enjoy in the offseason.
Freshman year, Adrian Peterson is just one of the greatest players that I had ever seen. I was a big Sam Bradford guy in college. I feel like the injuries really derailed his career. I thought Sam Bradford had a chance to be really, really good.
Yeah, I was at the game whenever they were playing BYU, I think, when he got hurt at the Cowboys Stadium, one of the first games at the Cowboys Stadium. So, yeah, that was tough for sure. Jalen Hurts, you can throw him out there too.
My producer and I are really excited about the new college football game. Not sure if you're a video game guy or not. Are you interested in the new college football game?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I haven't played video games since, I think, or I've played video games before the last game came out, but I've been kind of waiting until this new one comes out. I'm pumped. A lot of guys in the clubhouse are pumped about it, and so definitely going to be playing that when it comes out.
Okay, that's good to hear. Who on the team acts like they're really good at video games, but you've seen them play or you played them, you're like, you're not really that good?
I haven't really seen a lot of guys play video games. I've seen Vinny play. He talks a big game. Him and MJ both. They like to run their mouths with their video games. So I'll kind of have to see it to believe it. We might have to have a little tournament or something.
I'll get you out of here with this, Bobby, and I appreciate your time. How fun is it to just be playing in games that really matter? Like, you have already gone through the ups and downs in your Major League Baseball career. How fun is it to be in the wild card hunt, to be in the divisional hunt, and every single day going to the ballpark has real meaning?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. This is what we were thinking about towards the end of the year last year. We knew that this is what we want to do. We want to win. And so some of the changes that were made were extremely huge for the team. And then just what were the teams doing? They're all bought into just winning. And I think that's kind of the ultimate goal. And then now that we got fans coming out, the noise is getting louder. The guys are getting fired up. So it's a lot of fun. So yeah, hopefully keep coming out.
You have a popular catchphrase right now. Just tell us how this catchphrase come about. And I'm guessing you got to get some kind of royalties on all of this.
Yeah, I guess I said it one day, and then it's stuck. So we just got to keep doing it. Keep playing some ball.
That is Bobby Witt Jr. joining us on the show today. He's trying to make the All-Star game for the first time, and I got a good feeling that he is going to represent the Kansas City Royals in this year's All-Star game. Bobby, man, happy to have you join us on the show, man. We got to do this again sometime.
Perfect. Thank you.
Absolutely. That is Bobby Witt Jr. joining us on the show today. Excited to have him in his first appearance joining us on the show. I am hopeful that between now and the end of the season, we can have Bobby Witt Jr. on a couple more times. And you know what? He can elevate to being friend of the show. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Rob, I have to tell you that I think what we've seen the Chiefs do is something that is long-lasting in sports, and we have seen some other teams try to do something that kind of circumvents the system. I'll explain what I mean. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
We'll get back to very serious baseball things here coming up in a bit, but I want to tell you guys a quick story. Maybe it's not a story, but I think you guys will follow. I think we get examples in sports all the time about the right way to do things. Now, this isn't to mean that you can't make trades or can't use free agency, but for the most part, you are going to build your team through drafting, developing, and hoping that it works. And we always get a team that tries to do it a little bit differently, right? We always get a team that thinks that the rules don't apply to them. Like, I'm thinking about the Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers have always been in the Lakers' shadow. Their little brother. When you think about going to L.A. and going to Staples Center to see a game, you don't think about going to the Clippers. No, you think of the Lakers. They are the one with all the championships. They are the ones with the history. They are the one that have the statues outside Staples Center. Ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. No one is going to see the Clippers. So the Clippers had an opportunity a couple of years ago to change all of that. They went out and got Kawhi Leonard. Now, if you watch the NBA, you know that that Kawhi Leonard thing was not going to last long, that his body was about to give up. But they did everything they could to go get Kawhi Leonard, and I get it. When he is healthy, he's one of the five best players in the league. He just is never healthy. And it wasn't just that. They went out, and they had to make a trade for Paul George, too, because if you got to get Kawhi, you got to get him somebody to play with. He's not going to go there and play by himself. So they made a trade for Paul George. Now, they traded Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who this year was first-team All-NBA and finished second in MVP voting. I actually would have voted for him to win MVP. Another story for another day. They gave up five first-round picks, and they did a pick swap. Now, we don't got to get too much into the nitty-gritty of how NBA trades work, but you don't even have to understand the NBA to know that's a lot. The Clippers thought that you could skip the line. That's not how you win in professional sports. You don't win by just throwing a team together. Or if you plan on doing that, you better have LeBron on your team. Sure, you can do it if you have one of the three greatest basketball players of all time. Sure, maybe you can just slap something together if you're going to get Tom Brady in free agency. Yeah, Tom Brady's going to come. He's going to bring Gronk with him. Other guys are going to want to play with him. Sure, you can do that. You know what Paul George is not? LeBron James. He's not Tom Brady. You better build a championship the way the Chiefs have. You better build it through. They drafted their quarterback. They drafted Tyreek Hill. They drafted Travis Kelce. They drafted Chris Jones. They developed these players. Sure, you made a couple of trades. You made a move in free agency, but your foundation, the core of your team, is built through your own hard work. Sure, some people get rich quick, right? Some people hit it big on a stock. Maybe somebody made a little bit of money in crypto. Maybe somebody you know got lucky and made a lot of money off AMC, made a lot of money off GameStop when they were giving money away. But most of the people that we know that got rich, that's not how they did it. It took a little bit of time. And the people that try to pursue wealth in that way, it usually blows up in their face.
if you are trying to trade your way to a championship or sell all of your future assets to go get a championship, that's how you get Russell Wilson. That's how you get Deshaun Watson as your quarterback, where you made one of the biggest trades in league history, and we still don't know if he's good. You tried to cheat the system. That's not how this works. That's not how sports works. It's usually built through drafting, developing, growing, and eventually you can prosper. Look at the Boston Celtics. It took them a couple of years, but they eventually got there. Look at the Denver Nuggets. It took them a little bit, but they eventually got there. You got to go through some stuff. You got to grind, and eventually you can come out on the other side, Rob. Any of these get rich quick, try to put our team together quick. Look at the San Diego Padres. The Padres tried to do the exact same thing. Oh, we're just going to buy everything. And oh, that doesn't work. Hey, we'll just keep throwing more money on the problem. Have not come close to winning a championship that way. That's not how you do it in professional sports. You got to draft. You got to develop. You got to make shrewd moves. You got to build a foundation. The Chiefs have built that. They built the strongest foundation in American sports. They have a lot of success.
Doesn't it apply to college sports too? Like, I know that it's not true free agency, but the NIL world is a little bit more free agency than non-free agency.
You're talking about like Ole Miss. Whenever Ole Miss was...
Ole Miss was buying... Remember when Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher was paying everyone? Colorado. How many titles do those teams have? It is still... I know college to pro isn't the same. It's still find your guys, scout your guys, acquire your guys, develop your guys, make that your foundation, and that is the path to winning in all sports. Like the NBA you mentioned, college football we've mentioned, college basketball. It wasn't like UConn was five NIL transfers that went and got paid. It was guys that came through the UConn system. College football, pro football, it just seems like everywhere you look, the path is simple. Draft, scout, draft, develop, that's the path.
Yeah, and I mean, there's obviously, you know, examples, and like anything, you can use those other models to supplement things, but when you look at the best teams that Kansas has had, when they've tried to do the quick fix, it usually doesn't work. What teams for Kansas make the Final Four? What team won the national championship? You won it with Christian Brown. Who knows the hard work it takes and what it means to be a Jayhawk? You win with Ochai Agbaji. You win with David McCormick, who KU fans hated basically every day that he was there until he finally hit one of the biggest shots in program history. When KU tried to, oh, well, we're just going to get the best player in the transfer portal. You guys hated Hunter Dickinson in the second half of the season and thought he was overrated. If you try to build it that way, quick, fast, It never lasts in sports. That's just not how you do it. You look at how Georgia has built their program. You look at how Michigan built their program, what Alabama has done over the course. When Clemson was really good, there's usually a formula to do it. Now, you still got to execute it. You still have to get a lot of things to go correct. You still got to get a lot of things right for that to be the case. But if you can do it at the highest level, it gives you a long-term success. It gives you a chance to sustain things. Or you can try to be the Rams. Hey, let's try to finesse one championship out of this thing. Let's try to finesse one. Hey, we're going to buy up a lot of pieces. We're going to do this. And sometimes it works. Again, some people get rich quick. Some people hit the one lick and they can make a quick amount of money. Hey, you go viral. You got the right idea. You go hot. You got the one single. Yeah, that's really fleeting, fast money. That's not how you sustain a career or build something that's lasting.
I don't believe the Royals are going to a championship this year. You just don't know what you don't know. But aren't the Royals doing that right now? And they're starting to win for the first time? Like, when we do the random Royals lineup and I pulled the 2018 team, you're going to see a lot of random free agents. You're going to be like, what was Lucas Duda doing on this team? That just get in the way. This Royals team, albeit not title team yet, Bobby Witt, drafted and developed. Vinny Pasquantino, drafted and developed. Mikel Garcia, Salvador Perez. I know MJ Melendez hadn't been good this year, but MJ Melendez, Brady Singer. I know that Cole Reagans wasn't drafted by them, but they made a trade, and then they developed him from quadruple A arm to frontline starter in baseball. James MacArthur, same way. Small trade, he's become one of the better closers in baseball. Like, it might never get to the same fruit the Chiefs tree has, or the UConn or Alabama tree. But aren't we seeing that with the Royals right now? J.J. Piccolo and code. They built the foundation on find, develop, and progress with that group.
Get rich quick schemes. I'm just trying to tell you, stay away from them, you know? Sounds good, you know? TikTok has you convinced that, hey, you know, it's easy to invest in the stock market. No, it's not. A lot of people have tried. A lot of people have lost a lot of money doing so. Rob, do you find it a little bit concerning that the passion about American soccer seems to come more from outside the program right now than inside the program? Like, when I was listening to the post game yesterday, and they got Clint Dempsey up there and Alexi Lawless, and they got, you know, they got American soccer royalty, so to speak. They sounded way more mad about it than the coach sounded about it yesterday.
I think what we have learned over these cycles is that this team is not able to do anything better than has done in the past. And that hurts. That hurts to say, because that was not what was promised and not what, for many, we believed was going to happen with this team. Because if this is as good as it gets, it's not good enough. And there's plenty of excuses, but they don't matter. You know, you can talk about opportunities. Well, we have players that are playing all over the world. Talk about playing in Europe. Well, the entire team that you saw out there plays in Europe, so it's not MLS's fault. You can talk about, you know, the pathways and the resources that they have. No generation has been given more, and yet this generation hasn't lived up to that bargain. And when it comes to Greg Berhalter, we heard Stu Holden say it's exactly right. You know, I know there's a sport in firing coaches in all professional sports. And I know the knives are out, and they should be, because this is not good enough from Greg Berhalter. And you have to ask yourself, with 2026 coming barreling down the pike, it's going to come real quick.
Less than 2 years away.
All right? We can't afford to waste it. We can't afford to be embarrassed. And we can't afford to arrive in the summer of 26 with a team that has not progressed, that has not evolved, and has not improved. And I'm sure if Greg Berhalter was here, he would say, oh, but you don't see what's happening inside. I don't give a crap what is happening inside. I don't care about the dynamic. I don't care how much your players love you. I don't care how kumbaya it is. All I care about is I see a U.S. men's national team that is better than before. And we haven't seen that, and that's a problem going forward.
I just saw a lot more frustration from outside of American soccer than I saw from inside it. Like, listening to Greg Berhalter yesterday, he seemed like a man that was just defeated. You know, I've heard enough coaching press conferences in my day to realize when it's over, you know? And what I heard yesterday was a coach that knows, yeah, I'm cooked. I'm cooked. We're cooked. I don't have the solution. I maybe am not the answer to this problem, and we probably need to go in a different direction. We'll find out if that's what American soccer is going to do. They got 2 years to get ready. It's that simple. The World Cup is not next week. They have 2 years to try to turn things around, because the team that they just fielded, or at least the attitude that they just fielded in the Copa America tournament, I'm telling you, it is going to be very disappointing here in the United States, at least when it comes to soccer. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
I want you guys to hear this as you were driving to the Royals game today. I want to read to you some very important information that you could need this weekend. Kansas Health System is preparing for firework injuries. They have a burn center, and they have a fast track. This is for immediate emergency department response to burn victims. Now, this is going to open up Thursday at 4 and go until Monday, July 8th at 7 a.m. So from Thursday until Monday, just go in there. If you need some help, they're going to fast track you for a burn. Now, a couple of things. I am not here to stop anybody's good time. I promise you, I am not. If you want to light fireworks today, go ahead. If you want to light fireworks tomorrow, go ahead. Thursday, absolutely. Friday, absolutely. Saturday, sure. Sunday, let's wrap it up, B. I'm setting a rule right now on this show. if you are lighting fireworks by the time House of the Dragon comes on, I'm reporting you to the police. Why are you still out here lighting fireworks? You have 5 days. Guilt-free. Light all the fireworks. Grill all the meats. Have all the drinks. Play all the games with your family. Do whatever you want these next couple of days. Yo, Sunday night, we ready to get back to work, man. I don't want you outside lighting M80s. You're popping fireworks. Your kids running around screaming. Hey, man. It's time to go to bed. Hey, let's wrap this up, man. You had all week to do that. So, Tate, tonight when you get off work, maybe you off work tomorrow, and you want to go out, light some fireworks. That's great. Have fun. This week is your week. By the time I start here, bum, 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 by the time I start hearing that, man, it's over. I don't want to hear. The same people that are popping fireworks on Sunday are the same people that are still eating Thanksgiving leftovers on Tuesday. Knock it off. It's over. It's done. You've had enough. You had plenty of opportunity to eat that leftover stuffing. You've had it now for 9 consecutive meals. Go order a pizza. Stop it. The reason I tell you guys about this burn center is, listen to this. Now, last year, the hospital treated 25 patients for firework-related injuries, with most victims being men in their early 20s. Now, I don't say this as like a way to pump me up, but a lot of times when I meet people that say they listen to the show, they're normally in this demographic. They're like 25-year-old people that are like, oh, hey, I listened to you when you were Danny. I'm a big fan. Thank you, man. It's nice to meet you. I say this because I really want the best for you guys. Don't Jason Pierre-Paul yourself out here in these independent streets, man. Please don't do that. Please don't. You got 10 fingers and 10 toes, man. Let's get to football season with all of them, man. Let's get through the All-Star break with all our digits, man. How can you play the new NCAA football game and you only got 6 fingers, man? It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for you to recruit and you ain't got all your fingers, man. It's going to be tough. So, again, have your fun. I'm not here to say not have your fun. But I am here telling you, you don't need that M80 that you're thinking about picking up. Yo, leave it alone, bro. Stop it. Knock it off. Why are you getting quarter stick of dynamite? Why are you got the fireworks in your hand, you trying to wait till the last second to throw it in the air? We out here doing tricks with the fireworks. No. Set the fireworks on the ground, light them, move, and watch them go off. It ain't that hard, bro. It's not. I don't want y'all to end up in the Bennett Burn Center. I really don't, man. They had 25 patients for firework-related injuries, and most of y'all are in prime drive age. I'm not doing my public service if I don't try to help you guys. I want you to keep all your fingers. I really do. I want you to keep all your toes. That man that you got dynamite from last year, tell him, you know what? Hey, I'm just going to chill this year. That dynamite is not for your 7-year-old. That's for you. This is not Call of Duty. This is not Halo. This is not Medal of Honor. This is not any of those video games that you have played. We don't need dynamite to the function. We don't need these loud explosives. I hate Firework Guy. Firework Guy, the same one complaining about parking at the Royals game. You about to go spend $300-$400 to light on fire. You can't give $20 to John Sherman to park at the game. But you can go get that Big Godfather package. You know the one I'm talking about, for those of you that go buy fireworks. You know you're not going to pop all those fireworks. All you're going to do is keep the rest of us up for the next couple of days as you try to live your dream. Stop it. Knock it off. Spend that money on groceries or something. Get some Invisalign for your little one. Something. Invest that money elsewhere. Had to give you guys a PSA, man. That really came from my heart, man. It really did. It came from my heart. Somebody said our town's firework is until Friday at 9 or Sunday at 9:30. Bro, that's too late, bro. Sunday? Y'all can't do Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I'm going to Weston for their firework thing. Their thing's on Saturday night.
Move. Only solution. You can't live in that town anymore. They're breaking the rules.
Yeah, Clinton, come on, bro. 9:30? I can't even hear. You already can't hear Game of Thrones. You gotta watch with the subtitles. If you don't watch that with the subtitles, you got next level hearing. I'd be like, yo, who is he related to? Who, that's somebody's cousin. I don't know whose cousin that is. All right, guys, I appreciate you. We only got one more show this week. Let's make the most of it. Keep right here, Sidra.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.